Mercy me. That's a for those of you who used to listen to the Z Radio, that was one of the groups that always they played a lot, and they actually had the song Mercy Me. But I remember back in the day when I was growing up, this was a kind of a go-to phrase by the old women of the church. And being in West Virginia, they would say that a lot. But they would come out with, "Oh, mercy me." It was usually an expression of surprise, or it could have been an expression of disbelief, or sometimes it was focused towards me. I don't understand that one. Anyhow, as we approach the new year, we're recognizing that, of course, we are coming into a year of grace and supplication. And grace, we know, is the birth of the new day. It's a new beginning. It is that point of moving forward, and it's going into the new horizon. And so our supplication is going to bring life to the place where we have committed ourselves. And we are going to commit ourselves to seeing the new thing that God is wanting to establish in this new year. And there is so much on the board. There are so many things on the cusp that are ready to move forward that we can see God's hand moving dramatically in the nations. We can see God's hand moving dramatically in us, in our willingness to move forward. We can see God's hand dramatically preparing us in ways that we hadn't thought about. And some of the things we've experienced, we have yet to know how they're going to come into play. But we have to trust the Lord that He has given us exactly what we need for what is to come. And so this time around the Lord's table of grace in our New Year's Eve, as we prepare for that new year, is really significant. It's really a time of submitting, and as was spoken of this morning by Adrian, that we're saying, "Lord, let it be in me as you have determined, as you have prepared me. Let me not forget the lessons. Let me not forget the things that have transformed in me. Let me not look ahead and think I'm not ready, but let me declare your provision and goodness that I can move forward in and know success, know your victory that you planned from the beginning of the world." God has brought us to this point in a specific time and place because there is something necessary that we are to do. And He has brought us forward to a point where we are able to say, "Yes, Lord, I will be here. Send me. Take who I am and use me in the fullness of who I become. And let me embrace, let me grab hold of those things that you prepared for me to have for this day, for this new year. Let me come before you with a great energy from your spirit to move in mighty ways, and also to be moving in subtle ways." Sometimes the greatest thing we can do are the small things. And when the scripture says, "Don't despise the small things," it is really because there are preparations that have to click into place before other things can happen. And you and I, as sons of God, who have said yes to the Lord, that we will follow hard after His heart, that we will seek His ways, He is going to use us to bring things into place. And so we have to be truly praising God for how He has maneuvered us and brought us to these points, and especially as we have acknowledged that this is going to be a year of grace. This is a joyful upward movement for us. It's a promotion for us. We're going to move ahead and not be the same. We're going to be moving ahead and not be looking back and wishing we were back in the old days. We are moving ahead thankful that we are in the new days. Amen. So we are joyful, and this is the point of our obtaining what Peter says in 1 Peter about mercy. And we're going to talk about mercy. We're going to talk about what it means to function in this mercy during this year of grace. We need this grace of God so that we are going to be able to fulfill everything that he's called us to be. And this mercy is something that it's a result of moving in grace. I'll put it that way. And Peter, he was writing this letter to the churches in Asia, which were the ones that Paul had established. And according to the timeline that their scholars have determined, that this was during the persecution of Nero. And it was Nero that was famously fiddling. I don't know if he even had fiddles back then, while he watched Rome burn, but blamed it on the Jews. But Peter's letter was designed to encourage these brothers to not think it strange that all this was happening. Don't think it strange that things are going against you as you move forward in the ways of the Father and the ways of the kingdom. And this is an admonition for us. And we've talked about this before, that as we move forward, we're going to run into the enemy, because that's where he is. He has given up his position, and he has moved to another place where he has set up his camp and said, okay, I'm going to stop him here. And as we continue to move forward, we continue to rout him, and he has to move to another place. But in that routing of the enemy, we're going to find that there is going to be those things that he has set to deter us, to cause us to faint, to cause us to put our eyes someplace else other than on the commission that God has given us. And so we are going to experience some measure of persecution, and we already have. And as Annette was talking about this morning, there are things in our life that we can count, maybe just right off the top of our head on one hand, how we have hit those places where the enemy has resisted and tried to take us out. But we are truly saddened, dismayed to hear of the kinds of things that are happening in Nigeria, where the Christians are being summarily killed because of their faith. And so this word from Peter is to reassure us that as the chosen generation of God, we are going to function in his mercy. We are going to obtain mercy. We are going to be in the right place at the right time for the right purpose of God, for the Tob purpose of God, for the purpose that is free of the evil that the enemy has tried to bring forward. So let's look at 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 9, and we'll read down through verse 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. He says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So the focus really of what Peter is saying is down here in those last lines. You now have obtained mercy. And so we have come to know that mercy describes our intimate relationship and commune with God. That's what mercy is. It is in this relationship that he imparts the things that work for Tob, that work for his good, that work to progress his kingdom forward in the ways that will overcome and take back the kingdom from the enemy. So this is about God giving us strategies to endure and overcome what the enemy is setting up. And so we face daily without fear the assignment that has been given to us. And we say, whatever you want done in me, let it happen. Whatever needs to come from me, I will give it. All I have is yours. And so this is about God giving us these strategies that we can trust, that we know work. This is not an experiment. This is not, try this and see if it works. This is solid, biblical, spiritual, rock-type foundations that we build on. And mercy, then, is based on our covenant relationship through Jesus to remain in commune with the Father and in His timing, obey His strategies. If this isn't the foundation of how we relate to God, then we can be pulled off course very easily, as many have been. So God is releasing His directives of purpose that produce grace. It produces this movement forward, and it allows us to function in the full measure of what He has called us to be and what He is calling us to do. You know, we can do things, but if we're not being what that thing needs to have done by, then what is done is nothing. You know, it's that concept of without love, without the passion of God's purpose, we're not doing anything. We're just loud noise. We can do all kinds of things that say, you know, God is King of all things, but if we are not subject to the King of all things, if we haven't had this passion for who He is and want to know His heart, then we haven't done anything. So it is in this verse that Peter identifies five responsibilities that must be in functioning so that we can obtain mercy. Now, it's interesting, just say right off the top, that obtaining mercy is one word. But the first responsibility is functioning as a chosen generation. The word chosen speaks of God's specific plan for us who are His offspring. We are His genos. We are the beginning of His plan. We are the beginning of the next thing that He is about to do. We are born of the Father into a family lineage, and we are raising up saints as we have raised our been raised up as a saint. We are influencing the people around us, and in that we are being sent into the world with the skills of what we have learned. This means that we have become the essence of what God desires for His creation. We have become that, we have become the salt. We have become that which brings healing, that which brings out transformation of things that have not been according to the Lord to according to His purpose. And we are now in a place of His calling that represents His eternal plans. You're here, your understanding, your sense of responsibility for the kingdom is no coincidence in the timing of God. You represent His plans that were established before creation. And so this concept of the chosen generation or the genos speaks of our spiritual DNA. We are made up. We are not just functioning in a position. We are that position, so to speak. We are that point of representation. We are that that spark of light. We are that flame that is increasing, that is bringing light to the darkness. So God is calling us to function in ever higher levels of awareness. To be aware of how you are representing the kingdom. To be aware of how God has called you into this specific responsibility, and how it is that the responsibility you have is going to bring new life. It's going to bring light into the darkness. This means that your training and application of sonship is in perfect synchronization with the end time plan. The end times are here. They began with the resurrection of Jesus. You know, all the books from the apostles all talked about it, the time is short. It's here. This is the end times. Well, certainly, as we look about us, we see that we are probably in the end of the end times. You know, there's so much that's being fulfilled now that is being talked about in Revelation that we can see. And so our training, what we have been entrusted with, what we have received through the Word and through our participation with the Spirit in our bringing forth the glory of the Father is coming into play right now. So in this capacity of our genos, we are commissioned to be this royal priesthood. And, you know, we talked about being a priest. You know, we are those responsible for a relationship with the Father, to offer prayers of incense and to offer our lives as sacrifice unto the Lord, a living sacrifice. But this word royal speaks of kings. And when we talk about kings, we talk about the foundation of power. And when we talk about the foundation of power, we're talking about the last word. Right? What the king says is what goes. No matter what's going on around him, when the king said, okay, this is what we're going to do, that's what happened. He's the last word on anything that was going on in the government with the people. And so think about this. We are made royal priests. We are made to speak the last word. We are made to speak the word of authority from the Father that says, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. No matter what you see going on around you, this is what has to be. This is what has been predicted. This is what has been arranged for. This is what has been planned for, and this is how it's going to be. This is your responsibility. You are a royal priest. When it comes to your personal relationship with the Lord, you are that royal priest. You speak the truth about what's supposed to happen in your life, and you follow through. You say, okay, no matter what I'm feeling in my spirit, no matter what emotion is trying to overflow me, I'm going to speak by the Spirit. I'm going to speak what God has called me to be. This is the last word. This is my royal responsibility. I am the priest that declares the relationship between me and the Father. And nothing is going to come and supersede that. Amen? So this is an incredible capacity. This is this royal priestliness. It is being in harmony with the Father, and in our supplication, we are asking for those things that He has predestined us to have. You know, Lord, activate what you have predestined me to have for this time, that I might declare your righteousness, that I might declare your purpose, that I might function fully in the things that you have called and are looking to take place in these last days. This is the intensity of our priesthood. This royalty says you are given that authority to speak the last word over yourself and to those who have been brought before you. So our words, what we declare, have to be what has come from the Father through the Spirit. Because it's our responsibility. Because we are the royal. We are the kingly priest. We have the last word, that foundational authority. And that has to come with our relationship with the Father. So this is who we are as the generation, the genos of the Father and his plan. And so let us see this incredible responsibility. Let us not ever treat it lightly. Let this be the focus as we come around this table of grace to know that this is what God is wanting us to move forward in, to be able to speak the words of heaven, to be able to speak the words of eternity, to be able to speak those things which are life-giving. Now, when we think about priesthood, this roots back to the Greek word that speaks of a high priest or the top priest. This priest is the one who will convey the presence of the Lord into any particular place where he is. And so we have this last word to bring to wherever we are. whatever situation, whatever things are coming in on you, we need to perceive how we are to speak into that. And it's not just to declare, oh, this is bad, but just to declare what God is doing. To see past the natural into the spiritual. And to be able to identify what God is doing or how the enemy is to be overcome. The Lord shows us many times the enemy's strategies not to cause us to stop, but to cause us to move forward. So we stand before God with the kingdom within us, with the responsibility to speak on behalf of God into the place that we've been assigned. And we are teaching the ways that God has shown us from his right hand. We are bringing people into their priesthood so they know God in that very intimate way. In this year of grace, God is calling us to always represent his heart. We represent what God's doing. And this is powerful because wherever we land, wherever we find ourselves, we represent what God's doing. You know, it's said that timing is everything, and God is always on time. And wherever he places you, it is the exact moment that you're supposed to be there. So we're being called to teach as we have done. The things we do, we demonstrate and we teach how it is to be a part of the kingdom and how we are joint heirs with Christ and how we are to move in grace and to really know the timing of the Lord. And this is going to make us a peculiar people. Now, the word peculiar is priapoies. And it's about making something stand out in the way of how it functions and how it looks. And our histemi is going to be affected by our peculiarity. The atmosphere around us, in other words, is going to reflect, is going to echo this peculiarity. It's going to be something that we move in that is going to change how things materialize. You see, the enemy has a concept of how he's going to counter us. And he has set things up to kind of fall like dead trees in our path. And as we move in this peculiarity, the things that he has caused to fall or to hinder us, we're going to see that as opportunities. We're going to see that as God's provision. And what was meant for evil turns to righteousness. And so we are standing out in the demonstration of moving forward in grace. We are standing out in the demonstration of obtaining mercy. And by the nature of our relationship with the Father, we're looking different. You know, if people are close to you and they know you and they've seen something transform in you, they're going to be saying stuff like, you know, you're different than you used to be. You know, what is it about you that's changed? Our focus has now been raised to the right hand of the throne of God. We're no longer looking at our situations here on Ontario and saying, oh, woe is me. We're looking for, what do you want me now to do with this? How do you want me to move in this peculiar way? How can I use my peculiarity? I'm not here to draw attention to myself, but I'm here to transform the atmosphere. I'm here to be that point of bringing praise to who the Father is. And that's one of the things that many things that are going to happen in this peculiarity is we are going to be those who declare his praises. Now, when we talk about praises, we're speaking of not just God's beauty and goodness or his purpose. We are speaking about the complexities of our relationship with him. When we praise God, we're talking about and we're declaring and we're seeing the nuances of what our relationship with him does in our life and does in the relationships we have with other people. And so our peculiarity then is something that transforms, that brings a new direction, that causes things to stop where they are and become focused on what God's doing. So our peculiarities is really about our time of commune with the Father. We have transformed our usual way of perceiving our world into our relationship with the Father. And so no longer are we standing with a shortened point of view, but we have been expanded in our understanding to where we are seeing things of greater value to be accomplished than, you know, what might be directly in front of us. And so our mode of attack, so to speak, becomes one of wisdom and becomes one of truly allowing the Spirit's leading. So what happens is that the darkness that's around us is made light. And what used to be hidden is now exposed. And when there is that kind of exposure, there is that kind of testimony as to what is truly light. And that speaks volumes. When we reflect, when we echo the true light, there is a unveiling. And we don't have to bring condemnation. We don't have to be pointing the finger. We don't have to be bringing judgment. We just stand as light. This calling us out of darkness is really being a calling to be light. And it's not that we leave the darkness. It's that we make the darkness leave. Amen. And so this is separated to be on assignment and to be open to carry on the ministry that Jesus began. And so this is something we're going to have to continually press forward in. And as we press forward, we're going to feel opposition. You know, Paul talks about running the race. And I was thinking about how that is that pressing forward. And when you are running a race, there are all kinds of things that your body does. And most of it's to get you to quit. And now there is a thing they call the runner's wall. You ever heard about that? It's like you come to a point where you just, I can't go anywhere. And all of a sudden, it's like a breakthrough. And all of a sudden, you have what you need to keep on going in the race. You ever heard about that? The runner's wall? Never heard about it? Okay. It's true. It's real. Never ran that much. Don't want to run that much. I don't want to find the wall. If I'm running, I come to the wall, just knock me down. Boom. I'm done. It's true, though, that there's a certain point in your exertion where your body says, okay, if we're going to do this, let's go. You know, I'm just going to stop fighting you. It's going to stop telling you to quit. It's just going, okay, let's just keep moving then. And so there is a renewed ability to press forward. And in the spirit, when we press forward, we are going to feel that. We're going to feel the opposition. And there's a point where we're going to break through. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Anyhow, I'll let you figure that out. Because we've talked about it so much. We stand in the gap, then you break through. Amen. So this is an ongoing pursuit. This is something that has to continue. And in this continuation, this is where we find mercy. This is where we obtain mercy. This is like that breakthrough point. This obtaining mercy is the word elo. And it speaks of a progressive measure. Obtaining is, it's a word that speaks of receiving or giving instruction, layer upon layer. It speaks of that point of, now that you've heard, now you can go further. It's kind of like the combination on a safe. You twist it around and nothing's going to happen. That tumbler's not going to fall until you hit the first number, and then you can go to the second number, and then you can go to the third number. But unless you get those first two, there's not going to be a third number. And so this ELO, it's a progressive measure. It is that instruction that comes layer upon layer. It is our covenant through Jesus that is to keep us in commune with the Father, that keeps us looking for the next thing that God has for us, that keeps us in this relationship where His timing is met. And as we obey, when we hit the timing of God, His strategies come into play. And His strategies are what defeats the enemy. His strategy is what promotes the kingdom. His strategy is what causes us to expand in our relationship, in our ability, in our kingly authority, in our priesthood. This is what keeps us going to the throne, all right? This is what keeps us in our times of intercession, in our diversities of tongues, so that we are before the throne of God to know His heart, to know what direction He has called us to move in. This has to be for us. We have to continue to come before the throne in order to discern what God wants and what He has planned for us to accomplish. So our mercy me. It's not about our surprise. It's about our asking God for what he is wanting to do. We say, have mercy on me. It is, give me what you want done. I'm ready. I'm here to do it. This is our generation. This is who we have become. We are the genos of the last days. Jesus was the first fruits, and we are part of that. And God is looking for us to increase in this year of grace. Increase in every way. The harvest is here, and we are the laborers that have been prayed for. Amen. We are the ones that God has ordained for this moment, for this time. We are the ones who are this generation and who have come to obtain mercy. We are functioning in this covenant relationship through Jesus. Remain in the commune of the Father and know his timing, to know his purpose, and to be obedient in all things. All this is possible because we have taken our positions as this royal priesthood. We are this holy nation. We have become peculiar people. And we have learned to show forth his praises and become light in the dark. In short, we are God's people. Amen. We are who he has covenanted with to bring about these last days. Father, I thank you for this covenant relationship. I thank you that you consider us this generation that you are entrusting with these responsibilities to bring forth your mercy, to obtain that which is going to move us forward to know your heart. And so we ask, as royal priests, for those things which you have ordained for this time to be manifested in who we are. May we, by the power of your Spirit, be open to receive and to, with wisdom, make application of these things which you have shown us. Let us not forget what you have done to bring us here. Let us not forget our experiences with you. Let us forge ahead full in your grace, partner with you in everything. We thank you for this opportunity that lies before us in this new year. I speak this blessing over each one in this house, each saint, that they would know of this obtaining mercy, that their blessing would be truly a life-changing, a life-guiding, a fully invested experience with you. Father, you have so much for us to do, and we say yes to all of it. We speak all these things in the name of Jesus, and we say amen.